You probably can't hear down there. Yeah. And, yeah.
Thank you, okay. Mr. Jones.
Certainly.
So we are beginning the Westland Economic Development Committee December 14th, 2017 at 6:32. My name is Gail Holmes. I'm the chair.
Shannon Knight, member.
David Baker, member of the community.
Richard Zaklick, city councilor.
Tazi Ahmed, member.
Jennifer Harmon.
Bev Burke, member.
And John Morgan, staff.
And we have a quorum of five members. And I want to review the agenda. We want to add on number four, new business. Want to put at the bottom of that OBC land. We need to discuss an issue in that area of zoning. So let's move on to minutes. Somebody
reading a minute.
Read the minutes?
No.
I found a correction on page one under the 3A waterfront project. It stated that Brian Conan was the CEO of an investment corporation that owned the mill, and actually he's the CEO of the mill corporation. So okay. We need to take out investment out of there.
Okay, thanks.
On, is this the third page? I don't remember. It says, I agree.
What paragraph?
The first paragraph.
Beth Brooks stated?
Yep.
Started, rather.
It could have been. Yeah. I just don't remember.
Now, where, tell me again. Which
no, I did bring up accountability for staff.
But you didn't make a motion, so...
Oh, that may be true. Yeah, I didn't get down
so
to
you, that. That was a statement, and so it probably wasn't necessary to say that you agreed. Okay. And if you said you didn't, or you know, you're not familiar with that, we could strike that, if that. Is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hey.
Okay, so we'll strike that Shannon Knight agreed.
On page four, where it says inaudible, I would like to apologize to council, that was actually me.
Okay. So that would be Jennifer. And I noticed the adjournment, there wasn't a time. So usually when I adjourn, I say the time. Do you guys remember roughly?
I don't. What's the, was there a time stamp on the date, on that tape?
I don't know. It didn't show up on this, so I'm assuming not. So
you just
say 8:30?
I think it was pretty close to 8:30.
Okay, yeah, so let's say it was 8:30.
Very on time.
That way we just have an ending time on that. Was there any other corrections that people saw?
Say meeting adjourned at inaudible.
Okay. Well, we corrected that. So. Alrighty. So I've entertained a motion to accept the minutes as corrected.
I'll move to accept the minutes as corrected.
Okay, that was Shannon Knight. And do we have a second?
Second.
Jennifer Harmon, second. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I wasn't here, so I'm going to hit abstain. All right, so the minutes are finished. John, did you get those corrections, or do you want my copy?
That's fine.
Okay. Okay. All right, so number three, our old business, is the Westland Waterfront Project update, and I'm assuming that's...
Yeah, just want to give you an update on what's going on. learned quite a bit over the last month. And none of it's real helpful. Talked with the principals of the investment group last week, and they say with all the financial dealings that are going on, including the lawsuit they have against the firm that provided the pulp and all of this, that they are still up in the air in terms of exactly what's going to happen. They're not willing to go public or make any statements yet about it to give a definitive direction, and they indicate it'll probably be mid-January before they're ready to do so. A little bit of detail gained from Brian today in a gathering about what's going on financially. There are secured creditors, unsecured creditors, bank loans and such, and so they're doing all this work in terms of liquidating a lot of their assets. They're selling off everything they can. Basically a garage sale. If you want a paper machine, they'd be happy to give you one, but you have to haul it out, okay? So they're working to satisfy those $15 million. Their expectation is that they're going to come close to it without going into bankruptcy. If they have to go into bankruptcy, it'll just be to settle out the remaining debt. The major investors are the secured interest, so they have the first position on any liquidation, which means they very well may have the buildings when this all gets done, which is their hope that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. We know the name of those investors?
Yeah, it's Stern Partners.
From this
Vancouver,
area?
BC.
Thanks.
Yeah, you can look at their website. It's pretty interesting. They've got a pretty big portfolio of investments. They own two really big paper mills, which this is one. And the other is the one that's in Nova Scotia. It's interesting how they've been able to stay alive, because a lot of the big paper mills now, the modern ones, especially in the southeastern part of the United States, can turn out paper about three times faster than they can at this mill. Mm-hmm. And they're making that out of that soft pulp, you know, where they've got the fast-growing poplar trees and such, and that's what they're using. So this is a bit of a different environment here. So what this mill has done over the years is do a lot of custom stuff, real high-end paper and custom paper for a lot of things, and that's been going very well. We know that they were running profitably and doing really well when all of this crisis with pulp came up and forced them to close down. So let's see, the other aspects of all this, the employee reabsorption into the workplace has been pretty good. Many have been placed with better positions than they had before in terms of compensation. Others are coming in fairly close or not far off. There's a few that haven't found work yet, but they're laid off half the workforce the first week.
Is that 200 or 100?
They're 250 on site. And then they have 22 employees that are at other locations. They have warehouses and other places and things. I learned today they actually have a warehouse in Vegas, which they use for distribution. So that's a distribution center for a lot of their paper. And they're laying off more every Friday. So they said it gets grimmer every Friday as another dozen or so go out the door. And they expect by the first of the year they'll be down to pretty much just the cleanup crew that's finishing things.
I want to take the time. Rachel, do you want to?
Hi, Rachel Vadine, Vice Chair, present.
Sorry.
It was about the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing the reemployment? Is the state involved or how?
Very much. Very much. Oh yeah, yeah.
They
have to do the required notice to the state, and the state swoops in with the Workforce Development Board and a lot of resources. They've done a number of job fairs. They've had great attendance from other employers, because this workforce is a skilled industrial workforce, which is in short supply in the region. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those places, like Precision Cast Parts and Gustafson and Boeing and such, are very interested in these workers.
So how many of these people are Westland residents?
I was asking that question just like two days ago, and they really didn't know off the top of their head how many.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. They have some employees in there that have been 40-year-plus employees.
I bet.
Yeah, and they have four-generation employees with the mill. So it's pretty significant in terms of what's happened. Things are pretty well tied up. I know they've been talking a lot with PGE about those mutual interests. We're going to meet with PGE tomorrow to just kind of see if they can tell us anything new and what's going on.
Let them buy the snacks.
That's a good idea. There we go. And there were a lot of sea lions to be seen today. I was out taking a group through today, and there, in fact, we took all the property owners in the project area. Mm. So we had a lot of those people that were anxious to see it. So we had them down there, and there were quite a few sea lions down there. Okay. In the smorgasbord area.
There we go.
Yeah, indeed.
Now, we don't have a fleeting thought in my head. There it goes. Never mind.
So sad.
So wait, I'm just thinking of what else I can share with you or tell you.
It's, you mentioned that they were trying to figure out the cooling for the water.
Yeah, they're still working on that. And they're trying to avoid actually having to pay the city for metered water. Mm. So part of what the conversation with PGE is there a way for the mill to continue a little bit of operation, and PGE would pay for it in order to get the water to them. See, right now, the water is pumped out of the river up to that big concrete structure that's on top of the bluff. That's a big filtering system. And then it comes back down. Some of it goes to the mill. Some of it goes to PGE, about 5 million gallons a day.
Who owns the pump?
Pardon me?
Who owns the pump?
West Lynn Paper.
Oh, the paper mill.
Paper mill owns the pump, right? And the pipes and all of that stuff. So, but they're hoping to work that out to where they don't have to meter it. Of course, we're kind of hoping they buy metered water. I figure it'd be about $90,000 a month or something like that.
What's the discussion about the grant, the tourism grant on the webcam that we were...
Everything was so close. And now the mill is basically saying they just are not in a position to commit to moving forward, given everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, the intent is there. Many of you have met, the staff there, and they're just they really want to make it happen, but they're just not in a position right now.
So then that money, was it given to them?
Oh, no, it's waiting. Okay, it's waiting until there's a real project.
Yeah, because that needs to go back to the county.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, and maybe we can reallocate it.
Back. But I still have to talk to the county board to make sure that they understand that we're being respectful of the funds, because that's a problem, and we've had that problem before.
Yeah, it's just it's unfortunate. It would be pretty cool. We were looking at where it would go today, and it's one of these panable cameras is the intent, and so it would stretch from the falls all the way around to the osprey nest. It would have been pretty cool to have it up there. And hopefully we still will. Let's see.
Wasn't KGW or something?
Yeah.
They
became big players. This was one of the cameras Matt Safino wanted to highlight, and it just... When the property owner is not in a position to move forward, that's it. But KGW was putting a fair amount of money into it. So we sit and wait. We're in a stasis right now. We just don't know where it's going to go. We have to respect the property owners and see. And, of course, our conversations with PGE also, as well as the mill. And we don't know. Hopefully we'll get some clear answers. It means that on the waterfront plan, we continue to not move to our third open house, which was supposed to focus on land use, because it could all change depending on the announcement that the property owners have. Yeah. We had hoped we'd be able to do it in January based on getting word in December, as they originally had hoped to do, and now we wait.
Didn't they say that by the end of December they would be done with the projects that they had in process?
Yeah, that's
the
their
working
intent.
Process. So are they still able to hit that December 30th deadline?
That's their intent. They're literally cleaning up today, and have been for it's been 7 weeks now. In fact, I've been through the mill probably 10 times or so, and I was through it today, and it's remarkably cleaner than it's been in the past. And it's really weird because it's quiet.
Yeah.
It's like a tomb in there. It's like
getting rid of junk, because when you go on the tour, what's her name tells you that they just hoarders. They never get rid of anything.
Never get rid of anything, which is cool, because it means all that really neat stuff is still there that could be part of historical curation in time. There's probably a whole lot more than but they're going to have a heck of a garage sale when the day comes. A lot of folks will want some of that stuff. But Brian and Penny are the two principals in the organization. In fact, Brian said he found out yesterday he's now president of the corporation instead of CEO. Mm-hmm. Just all part of this restructuring stuff that's going on. He's down to about 40 employees instead of 277 total. And it's getting down every day.
Is he an Oregon resident?
Yes, he lives in West Lynn.
Okay, West Lynn resident.
Right,
all right.
Right, yeah. And, you know, he doesn't know. He may end up getting assigned to one of their other properties or moving to Nova Scotia or something.
How long has he been in West Lynn?
His whole life.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe he should come to a meeting.
Yeah. Well, I think he would. It would be really interesting to talk to him about it and hear the straight story. Yeah, he started out as an intern. And he never left. Penny's been there 20 years as their environmental manager. And she's turned into the tour guide. That's her job now. She's just tour guide. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's melancholy to be there, that's for sure. It really is.
A lot of changes.
More to come. Yes. A moment. I am hoping to make a testimony at the park meeting. I should go over there around 7:05. I'll be back, you know, in just a few minutes.
It looks like we have a question down here.
Well, I thought you were going to use this process.
Yeah,
so.
There you go. I'm trying to.
I was going to ask you, John, did you get to meet with David Stearns or his subordinates?
It's Ron Stern. And
is it Ron the owner?
I thought it was Ron Stern. And I've had 2 phone calls, including one last week. And they're, you know, and that's where he clarified the position that they're not ready to make any statement yet in terms of what's happening.
Have we shared any desire to, you know, when I did the tour there last month, you know, Penny said, I asked a question. I said, so what does the mill actually own over here in the parking? And she said, it's about 16 acres, which we could certainly use for the waterfront. Has there been any initiative to at least ask for, can we have first right of refusal on those acres before you guys decide anything?
No.
I'm thinking that they don't go off and do something, and then we're sitting out here in the cold when we may be able to, you know, come to us first and maybe we'll
figure something out. There's 2 economic factors here. One is that possibility the mill would reopen, which is pretty unlikely. I mean, he was even telling me that earlier this week, and I'm going, yeah, but you lost your workforce. How are you going to, you know, restart? Yeah. And he goes, oh, I hadn't thought of that. So, you know, so if it moves toward redevelopment, we've got a couple of hammers on it. One is it's zoned general industrial, all of it. So it's not like they can suddenly walk in with housing or stores or anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not in their interest to even think that way. Their interest certainly is in a land use pattern that's much more economically viable and appropriate for there. So we have them until we can create a new zone based on a plan that the community adopts for that area, and that they will certainly be part of doing that. And the other thing is there's infrastructure stuff that needs to happen, and the city will control that infrastructure, especially the access issues and that kind of thing. So I'm not terribly worried about it, because they need us, and we're not going to let them do something that just isn't going to be consistent with what the community decides there.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have their ear?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They need us.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. They need us.
So it might be worthwhile just to express that.
Sure.
At least I'm just thinking, to make sure that they know and don't come back. Well, we never knew, even though it's kind of logical. But, you know, because that's a real valuable part of what we may want to do.
When you get there and really stand and look at all of that land, it's a pretty good chunk of property.
Yeah, 16 acres is a nice, it'd be the good heat to start the waterfront.
Here you can, there's so many little detailed problems to ponder on this thing, so you all can noodle about this when I think about it. Those houses that are up on Willamette Falls Drive, there are 6 of them up there, they're great old homes. They're all used to some degree for office use or that kind of thing. But 3 of them take their access from the back, from the mill property. There's actually a little public right-of-way there that is kind of halfway up the bank. It's sort of their backyards. But then that right-of-way climbs up the hill and comes out right next to the school, even though it doesn't go through. The right-of-way's there.
To the charter school.
Okay. But over the years, an access has just been created that comes down the hill and empties up in the mill parking lot. So they have been notified that there's a probability that access is going to be cut off. And, you know, and it's interesting now to think about what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Those are the myriad of little issues that are going to come up as we work through this thing in terms of figuring out how this all works.
I think we have a question over here from Beth.
I'm trying to adopt again instead of just speaking out. Doesn't the city have, wouldn't the city once again have some kind of negotiating power for those citizens because it's zoning? Don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
That's pretty interesting.
It's one of those things we'll have to do. I have to think. figure it out.
Is there any other questions about the waterfront? Kazi, it looks like you're pondering something. You ready to speak on your ponder?
No.
Okay. Just kind of think, what else? Is this all waterfront I'm talking about? What's this waterfront?
Right,
okay, so
moment.
I talked a lot about the mill. We know that the issue of Old City Hall still is pending for the council and the county and whomever to sort that out. Maybe you can tell us later, you know, what's going on or what your knowledge of it is.
So we still don't know about the parking.
Nothing.
That was the big
issue. Yeah, and parking is the big issue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge issue there. And
it's the primary issue.
Yeah.
Right, right. So that's going on. We've had a couple of meetings with Clackamas County dealing with the pond that's at the far end, mm-hmm. which is owned by Clackamas County, now part of Water and Environmental Services, to clarify their intent and ideas for it. They have an outfall there that comes down 205. It comes from their Kellogg plant, comes out there. So that's really all they're interested in that ownership there, but they have this 15-acre pond, and they really want to get rid of it.
Ooh.
And part of our planning process is figuring that out.
Clarify something. On the map, it's called Publisher Pond. So if you want to
use there you
that go. That was Publisher Paper Company. So that's the old Blue Heron Pond. They actually pumped the effluent under the river and brought it out there.
Oh.
There you go.
Yes, Beth. So do we have any, or have they provided you any environmental statement on
yes.
that pond?
So here's what we know.
All right.
A level one assessment was done of the pond, or actually a pretty thorough assessment, and a level one remediation process involves basically filling the pond in as it is. Mm-hmm. And
so cap.
And yes, it's cap, basically. Yeah. What they luckily did find is there's no PCBs, and there's just all kind of fear-via PCBs, and there's no dioxin. Basically what's in there is wood paste pulp that's kind of in the bottom of it.
Have they offered you the report, and did it come from the DEQ, the EPA, or
it
a private
It was approved
vendor?
By DEQ. I mean, okay. privately did it, but DEQ did it. Plants has a copy of it. The that level of remediation, it would be replanted with native vegetation and just left alone, and it couldn't be used for human occupancy. I mean, you could go down there and walk your dog, but it couldn't be any kind of organized mm-hmm. space. A level two remediation means basically taking the sludge and drying it. So they do like half of it one year, half the next. And it would take a couple of years to dry it out and then cap it. Mm-hmm. And then it could be used for active recreation, soccer fields, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. The third level is where the sludge is removed and you get good clean fill that goes in. And then it can become buildable space and actually become 15 acres of developable land. The cost goes up tremendously, of course, with each of those.
It's a no-brainer.
And, you know, the... It's interesting, in the public open houses, the majority of people, when asked what they think ought to happen down there, is to use it for parkland. That's by far the most expensive to the public, because there's no private money that goes into that. So then you take it up to the next level, which is make it available and possibly even just sell it off for a private entity that would do the remediation, which is not unreasonable. But then it's not parkland. And then there's access issues and all that come into play with that. So it's part of the complexity of this project. Mm-hmm. Then let me tell you just the one last thing is our last open house dealt with transportation issues, which has always been one of the really big issues. I think I might have mentioned this last time. Good turnout at the open house, a lot of good comments about the various options. And so we're gelling that down, and we're actually going to issue a paper right after the first of the year that narrows the options down to three that would go forward. Those that have some degree of feasibility, and also the public has said that these are good ones. The one that seemed to get the most support is going to a simple four-way intersection with a signal. But actually, the one that a lot of people responded really positively to is this new idea that actually came from the 1988 plan for the area, which is relocate Willamette Falls Drive mm-hmm. down to the bottom and bring it out. Where it would come out at Mill Street, basically, mm-hmm. somewhere in that area. And a lot of people responded really positively to that. So we've been playing with that one, and that option, when you start massaging it, starts answering an awful lot of traffic issues.
Hmm.
So we'll come out with that, and you'll see it before your next meeting. It should be out for everyone to start chewing on it.
Yes, ma'am.
Might you be able to, if or put that on your list of things to do, if we have a January meeting, I wouldn't mind, and you have actually any documentation or files you could show us about that plan, that current thinking or planning for the transportation, could we see it?
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
For if we can have that for an agenda item.
Any questions about the West Lynn's waterfront project? Oh, one other thing. We are meeting a lot with the other entities that have a lot to do with this. Of course, all the parties on the other side of the river and all the nonprofits and have really integrated pretty deeply with everything that's going on. So it's a big part of looking at this. And it's amazing when the mill announced closure, how everyone's interest went up tremendously.
Yeah.
So, but we are coordinating. I spent a lot of time working with other groups.
Oh, the other thought is, where are we at on the lock situation? I know they're closed, but are we moving towards, we have even, what would it cost to get them up and running? Does anybody have any estimate on that?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I can't share anything with you because I don't know the details. But the initial process that's being managed by a committee, of which Mayor Axelrod's on the committee, they did the initial analysis. They hired an economics firm, Eco Northwest, to do a study just to determine the financial cost and feasibility of reopening the locks. That study is almost done, from what I understand, and that'd be a good thing for you to look at or have copies of next month, too, because it really is an economic analysis that and a market analysis. My understanding is it's coming back fairly positive in terms of the potential for it. January 1, the new commission that was established by the legislature takes over formal control of this. The Corps of Engineers has issued their report, which basically says they're willing to give the locks to a viable entity that will take it over, maintain it, refurbish it, operate it. And they say, please, take it. And so that was important to get to that point where the Corps would do that. But now this commission, the state commission, will figure out the options for making that happen.
Do we have any price tag? I mean, is it a $5 million?
I have no idea.
No clue.
I don't. Okay. I don't. So hopefully it's in that material that we'll see.
All right. I've had people ask me. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. I think we'll know a whole lot more about all this stuff in the first quarter of the year.
Okay. All righty. Then I think we're moving on to new business. Oh, I'm sorry.
She's got hers up, too. Oh, she was Deb. First.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't put it down.
I was just curious, John. You said you've been talking with Oregon City. Have they settled that issue with that owner?
No.
Okay.
No.
Still open.
Yeah. No, they're I know their interest is moving toward trying to take him out. But the council hasn't taken any formal action on that yet.
And hopefully
final not. Buried under the...
Oh, well, not like with the mafia.
Yeah, something like that. Figuratively taken out.
Maybe. So that's all basically on hold.
You have to define these things.
Yeah, you know, the process runs slowly. Yeah.
All right. Looks like Shannon has a question.
I just, maybe Richard can answer the question. Because I was listening to some of the budget meetings and where they presented to you, and it sounds like there's not much interest based on surveys or whatever they're talking about for Willamette Falls Drive improvements.
No, it's in there.
Oh, it's in there? Yeah, I thought it was like low on the list.
When we get to the city bond renewal, I can give you folks an update.
Okay.
No other questions.
I have a question.
Oh, there we go.
You know, last month we talked about this a little bit. And John, you gave him a very good, you know, update on it. But is this what EDC does? Just sit here, listen to updates, and have no role in the planning process? Or what role do we play? I think we need to have that discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the process and how do we interact with the city council in that process? When are we going to have that discussion?
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, John?
I'd love to get to a place where we're going to start reaching decision points pretty early next year that'll involve a lot of public input, and I've always envisioned this group would be intimately involved in that process, meaning it would come as agenda items here, and you'd make motions for recommendations to the council on points that come up. It's just we've been really stymied for the last couple of months and not moving forward. I thought we might even be pushing closer to some kind of draft by the first of the year. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. Now, part of it, too, it feels like we're on sand. We can't build a house on sand because things keep changing, and yet if we were to take an active role, what could we do?
My question is a little more on the role that we play here. Mm-hmm. Is this the city staff develop a plan or alternative plans and bring it to us, and we, you know, just pick and choose what, or make recommendations based on what?
Right.
Our background or...
And you have a very valid point, because if we're an advisory board to council, we're not advising. Because we're sitting here, like you say, listening to reports, hoping that something's going to shake out that we can act on, but we don't, and we haven't. There goes a piece of flesh.
So,
go ahead, finish.
So, even though nothing is solidified and everything is in a quicksand basis, mm-hmm. but still we need to, at this time, it's a good time to have that discussion and come up with some process that we know what our roles are and we are productive and we are involved, engaged in that process.
That's true. Because if we're not, then I think there's other things that we had goals from council that we didn't even get to this year, and that we should be working towards those things. So if we are on the treadmill, then, you know, we're not going anywhere.
Well, we had talked several months back when Troy was here about the idea of a retreat and thinking strategically about where the committee wanted to go. Maybe it's time, first of the year, to think about bringing that back to the table mm-hmm. and having that conversation sometime. Mm-hmm. Maybe even help feed it into the council goal set process, which actually is your report that we'll talk about. But that report's pretty, you know, mm-hmm. here's what we did. You might want to have a much more strategic conversation about this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kasia, I like what you had to say. I agree, really understanding what the purpose of our meeting is, not just to listen. I am fully supportive of that, in that understanding what is our role and how can we contribute to the best of our ability to the city and to the council. So thank you for bringing that up. And I think it's a great time with the beginning of the year coming and, you know, just getting a fresh perspective.
Definitely. Richard?
One thing that you've done this year that's wonderful that you all initiated was to look at zoning and mixed use, and now we have a mixed use working group. That's a significant thing that you guys, that you folks generated.
Mm-hmm.
You started that whole discussion.
Yeah.
The council, we were talking about it, and you gave us more info, and so now we have a working group.
Yeah, which is going to be forward,
which is
January.
A big plus.
January report.
I mean, we didn't have it before,
yeah,
and so now, you know, mm-hmm. it'll work. So
yeah.
That's a big one.
No, that is important.
Speaking of that, so it wasn't just mixed use that came out of that session, though. There was a lot of other things that we talked about, and I had no idea that that committee was formed. So are we going to be involved in that at all? So, I mean, it's those things that we present ideas, we present solutions, and they're very clear, and nothing happens.
Well, I'd say
absolutely nothing happens.
I have to insert something here. Russell's on it, I'm on it, Shannon's on it. So out of this committee, we've got three people that are participating in that. And it isn't just a mixed use in Willamette. I mean, there's issues around the city that need to be addressed.
So that...
Before you start, did you have any more to that?
Well, Well, just, you know, out of that whole meeting, is that the only thing that has been, has progressed? Has anything else been addressed in that?
Oh, I forgot there was another thing. You guys had a lot of input on web, and you've seen Shane initiate that. And so that's another accomplishment.
And business license, too.
Right, that's another accomplishment that you folks have generated. So I think you've done more than it thinks, but it feels like, you know.
Well, I want to just answer what you said, Kazi. There are areas that we talk about, but we haven't had, you know, a direct impact in, you know. And like you say, it's some people come to these meetings and they think, where's your action plan, right? I remember somebody a year or two ago that was always talking about the action plan. So, you know, it is very important, and you're absolutely right. But we need to have that vision and understanding. Because, okay, we've already, our hands been slapped a few times, but if we were to just, you know, move forward, and we're reminded we're an advisory committee to the city council, we just need to make sure that what we are thinking and what they are thinking, we're on the same boat.
So, you know, that begs the next question is, if we did such a great job and they got done, where's the update?
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the follow-up?
There's nothing.
Where's the dialogue back? Do you get dialogue back, John?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
This all flows up to the council and such. But, I mean, the task force has been set up.
Yeah, that's there's a response
and
there.
They're starting
the working group was done, and now it's moving forward.
Yeah, you guys know the business feedback. License thing is moving. It's all ordered, and it'll be implemented right away. Website,
we were in those interviews.
Right. So those three initiatives have all moved forward.
Might be worthwhile to get Shane back on an agenda to do a download of where he's at now.
But that's something we can add also to our report, our annual report, is that, and I think it is part of it, mm-hmm. Jennifer, I think it is part where the last section we're talking about, we want better communication to come back and forth. Because like you say, yeah, we've done things. It's not like we're not doing things. But where is that update to EDC? Whether it's through you or through me, it needs to come back here to say where we are. And what the next step is. Because sometimes we could have achieved something, but then that's just the first level. We want to go to the second level.
So do we need... So are we on annual report? Can we move to that?
Well, I think we're finished up on... Are you done with your points? Okay. Yes, go ahead.
So do we need to add that committee was formed, the mixed-use committee was formed as an accomplishment to the annual report since it was done this year, or is that going to be for next year?
Well, they're meeting next year, but... It did come from our committee. So
John, what would your...
Well, the council's taken the action to form it. It may not be meeting, but it was formed in this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a legitimate thing to add to it.
Certainly, yeah.
Just as an FYI, the city's looking for, you probably may have been prompted, they're looking for this by the 15th, the report.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to give it to him tomorrow, to Dylan.
Can you make it?
Yeah.
We did.
I was just sworn to remind you.
Yeah, no, Dylan sent me a couple of emails.
We did it last month. We did it. We just didn't finalize it.
Yeah. We didn't send it through.
I felt like we were the first group on it.
Okay, so... Task force. All right, do you want to say anything else about the annual report, Jennifer?
Nope.
I glanced through the minutes and it looked like we covered, or you covered all the points that were in the minutes on that, so that's fine. John, are you talking about the city bond renewal project ideas?
I think Richard is.
Richard, you talked about that.
Okay, another... Going back just a second on what you're talking about, feedback from the council,
mm-hmm.
as you folks move forward, I think it I personally, but I can't talk for the rest of the council, but I think they would appreciate it if you bring forward, these are the actions we would like, please get back to us with this and give us specifics.
Okay.
And so then we have something to really say, okay, we need to get back to EDC. And it's something that I'm trying to initiate in our standard flow in all of our work sessions and everything, because we don't do a good job of that. Mm-hmm. You know, capturing exactly what it is, what we need to do, and how we need to give back to people for whatever, or in this mm-hmm. case, advisory group. So, I mean, if you put something forward and say, this is the action we want for the council to take, you know, if it's nothing more than to say, bless what we're doing, you know, is this right? You know, and as we, you know, we're going to go through goal setting, so there's going to be some, you know, some changes coming up in January as to where we're going forward. And, of course, the advisory groups, you know, we want them to kind of mirror, not necessarily mirror, but be involved in the support, complement the council goals, of which, you know, zoning is probably, my guess is going to probably be one of them. But, again, we haven't decided yet. I don't want to speak for the rest of them. But but I think that would be a good idea, because then you'll require action. And if nothing else, you'll get action from me.
Okay.
So, or I'll be prompting. That. I'll be prompting. Well, you folks put in time. I mean, you know, you're volunteers. Eh?
So, do you have update on that? The renewal.
Yep. Last the budget committee, or the sub budget committee, because it wasn't the 10 of us; it was the 5 citizens. They went through their process, and I think you saw some of it or heard some of it, and they presented to us and. We went through it, and then now the TPL, which is Trust for Public Lands, is putting together the scientific survey. And so last Thursday, we sat and spent 4 hours going through all the different suggestions of things that they should be polling. And so there's one question in the poll, you know, that goes through 35 different things. For, you know, they're going to poll 400 people, and there's two groups. There's an A group and a B group. And so 200 people are going to get one set of questions, which are somewhat identical to the second group, but there's some differentiation for scientific purposes. And then some are going to get, all of them are going to get some questions. So, you know, from their you know, statistical survey point of view. And so they've started to work on that. And so anyone in this room might get a call that lives in West Lynn might get a call.
How did they come about getting the 400?
That's how they're doing it.
Just random?
By registered voters. Okay. And I think they said that they were doing it by most interested people who have voted, who take an interest in the city. And I guess they have a list of ones that have voted, you know, the top, you know, people that vote. Like this last election, there was like 5,000 people that voted. And normally when it's not a general election like the presidential last year, mm-hmm. you know, normally it's about 5,000. Usually, you know, more up-to-date citizens that pay attention to all the issues and stuff like that. So they're hoping to glean from that list and pick, you know, randomly.
Right. It would also be wise if there was a way to also be looking at the age groups, because if you're going to only poll 400 people, it'd be nice to have, because you're going to have different opinions out of different ages.
I think it's
a professional company. I think they probably have their ways of doing it to make sure.
You know, they presented the survey, the draft survey to us, and we had a bunch of questions as to, you know, some of them didn't seem to make sense, and so we worked through it, and they made a couple of changes based on what we all, you know, thought was appropriate, and now it's in action. And so we're going to get, I think it's January 8th, they're going to present the results to us.
The other
and
question.
And then we're going to make decisions from there as to what the message and what we go out to the citizens with for the bond.
Now, we did do that other Survey Monkey, I guess it was, that the city did, and there was 1,000 people that responded. So is that just being thrown out? And then
no, that was all incorporated into what the budget committee looked at. They looked at that, and then they looked at another 30 or so that were in the CIP, you know, capital improvement program or capital improvement plan. And so they had a whole list of a bunch of them, and they prioritized out of that.
Okay.
And then we saw the priorities. And then out of all those priorities, like Willamette Falls was in there, like you suggested, and then there were a bunch of others that were actually low priority from that list that are still in the survey, because scientifically they need a whole big gamut so that we can really gauge, you know, from the citizens what's really important to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have their ways of doing these surveys. I'm not a survey expert. So the information we get back, to us, the biggest thing was that there was a lot of choices for people to, you know, say, yeah, I really agree with that. No, I don't agree with that. You know, definitely not, you know, no way or whatever. And so, you know, according to them, we'll get, you know, some good data. So.
Okay, good. Anybody have a question? Nope, not seeing any. Committee structure. That was one of mine, huh?
Yeah,
I'm sure. Like, what do you mean, committee structure?
What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what I was thinking then. Let's cross
that
one out.
Yeah,
let's cross that one out. Let's see, EDC webpage. Oh, I had some comments on that when I had the paper call me to ask about EDC, and I said, oh, sure. Have you looked at our work plan? Have you looked at our recent study? And no, because it's not on the website. He didn't have any access to it. And I thought, you know, they're not like secret society documents, so it would be really important that we have our most current information right on there. We didn't have the Leland report on there, but we had the Green report, which was from about a year and a half, 2 years ago. So I'd just like to see that as correct as we can.
Yeah, because when you brought it up, I went, oh,
oops,
there's an EDC webpage. Oh, yeah. So I went and looked, and yeah, there's a lot of old stuff on there.
Yeah.
So I will take responsibility for trying to get it updated with everything.
Great. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else had any other things on the page you want.
You know, can I speak?
Yes. Yes, sir. So Kazi is speaking.
You know, what you could do is, John, have our achievements, list of achievements in there, and then that have a link to all the details that we have done.
For each one. Yeah, do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, because the one sentence, somebody might not quite get what we were talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm done.
Already?
And now, you need to invest some money into these little things that have a button on it. You turn on the light so we can speak and then turn it off.
Then turn it off, yeah. Well, we could meet in a different room, but okay.
Council chambers.
Yes, to meet in council chambers, you can do the queue.
Yeah, that's right. Shannon had talked to me and wanted to see, we talked about OBC land, and I'm just going to let you go ahead and take, you and I probably have the same thing to say.
Well, if any of it is specific to the Tandler
you want to
development proposal, yeah, I don't want to be here.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
okay.
Even though it'll be public knowledge as when you post it as minutes or audio, but yeah. I don't want to be part of it.
So. You can go down the hall and we'll come
yeah,
get
just
you.
Call me when you're ready.
Okay.
Text me, call me.
I only wanted us to bring it up so that we didn't have a situation like we did with the police station where this group didn't know what was going on until after the fact and it was too late to do anything kind of a thing. So I don't know how much we should actually be talking about with legal issues and stuff like that, but they came to present it to us at the WMA. The Jeff Parker for that.
He didn't come to WMA.
Well.
He called a community meeting, and only people that were near it got invited, but the rest of us found out about it.
Yeah, but it came through WNA.
Take one, pass it on.
Yeah, information.
Information, yeah. Okay, so this is the property across from Albertsons, mm-hmm. right? That's zoned OBC right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's proposing to just have 1 or 2 acres or something like that of actual OBC usage and apartments.
At the bottom.
And the apartments and the mm-hmm. rest of it. So it's basically, I don't know, 7 acres or something?
It's 11.3.
Okay, so that's 11.3 acres of OBC land right now, which is, we don't have a lot of commercial land already, right? That he's taking it down and reducing it to like 2 acres or something like that. He's looking at putting a fitness center in there, so some people have concerns about that. I don't have that concern about, they're worried that it's going to put small businesses, small fitness centers out of business. I don't have that concern, but I do have concern that we're losing a lot of OBC land. So I thought you guys might want to have input on that.
Yeah, just be aware of it. And they'll be going, I think it's February 12th, to City Council. He did say, Jeff Parker did say he was going to try to have meetings with the neighborhoods around there. So he should have a meeting with SONA, and he should have a meeting with Willamette. because we're the it's in Willamette, but it's right on the border of the SONA Neighborhood Association. So that's why it has to be in both, because it's right on the border.
So this is the same property that we've had.
The Con-Am was, yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I went to that meeting, I figured it out just roughly that it would be at least 160 apartments on the upper part.
So my biggest concern would be infrastructure. I mean, that intersection cannot take any more traffic than it already has.
No, it's an F.
And that concerns me greatly. It's just infrastructure. And we don't have businesses to keep supporting all. I mean, I didn't even know all those houses were being built off of Weatherhill. I don't know if you all have been back there, but there's probably 50 houses back there now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did know
about that. It boggles my mind. Like, we had at session how zoning and planning always does residential development, but they will never address any business development, ever.
And so this is kind of the way he's going about this, because he already got denied the zone change when he tried to do that, right, for residential. So the way he's doing this is called
a development agreement
with the city. So basically skirts all of our normal public process on it.
Actually, it doesn't. What it does is statutory, meaning it's Oregon state law, that a developer can approach a city to come up with kind of give and take of what does the city want, and this is what I need to do with my property or what I want to do with my property. So that's what that agreement's about. And the city council has just began to look at it, so it's not that it is a deciding factor yet. But when they do go in an agreement on it, then it has to go through the whole process of planning commission hearing it.
Versus the zone change, if he would have do this the normal way, or he should have done like he did and got denied, which was the zone change, it was a normal public process. So this is kind of making a little bit of a kind
of a deal with the city. Yeah.
So that he can, and then everything else would go through public process after that, but then this is a way he could get his zone change basically without having to do the public process.
Right. So this development, what did you guys just call it, a development?
Development agreement.
Agreement.
Is what it's called.
Does that have to be public?
No, so that's the thing.
At all?
No. It's just like the city, from what when I went to listen to the council meetings, the attorney said is basically, I mean, he gave a lot of good examples of where it makes sense for cities to do these kind of deals.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, the Willamette Falls area, you know, like the city is giving to that property owner, making deals with that property owner so they can get it developed the way they want it developed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's reasons for these. And there may be a reason for this. I don't know. But I just thought everybody should be aware.
Well, I think we know there's a reason for it. He has a reason. He's substantiating it. That's his reason. And I think why you're bringing it up, right, is because we worry if it's really best for everybody or if it's just best for him.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. It's a difficult property to develop. And in some circumstances, I can see where it does really only make sense to keep the bottom half OBC. But I mostly am telling you so you guys are not surprised by it all.
So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility, in my view, is that we recognize that there is not a whole lot of OBC space available, and to recommend to the city council that they don't take that away.
Reserve it.
You know? Mm-hmm. So we should probably have a resolution to that fact.
We certainly could. I mean, nothing's stopping us from making a motion
we want. I think Kazi's point about losing commercial land is consistent with the purpose of this committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the only reason I brought it to everyone, because I figured that it was OBC, you know, so it should be important to this committee.
Yeah, no, I think it's very important. So, sir, are you making a motion?
I'm not sure how I would phrase that. So I think at the least we should do that, because it's to our, you know, charter.
Mm-hmm. Would be a motion to recommend the city maintain as much OBC as possible.
And maybe be able to a little more description around mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe specific, OBC as possible yeah, related to this project.
Good start, but I would say due to the limited OBC zoning land that we have, we would want to keep
maintain
what we have instead of becoming residential. You don't have to put that part of it. That's the reasoning why we're thinking this.
And I don't necessarily know it has to be specific to this project because, again, I don't want to get into having legal issues discussing this particular project too much. But
actually, I don't think we are because when we say we don't want to lose mm-hmm. OBC land, that could be anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
In
it doesn't
this
have
land.
To be specific
yeah.
to this project. Yeah,
exactly.
And we don't have a legal representation here to verify or validate what we would come up with. But I think, you know, John, can you run this by through the city attorney? Can we identify this request that is in front of the city council?
Yes, there's no issue with that.
Okay, and
yeah, I don't think that's outside your charter or charge okay. or anything.
Because this is a public meeting, it's already been public
because we're an
economic right,
development
so.
Committee.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a hearing coming up, and you certainly can do that.
So regarding this property, the request for this property to be taken under consideration for approval of statutory development, that it would reduce the amount of, or how do you say that, the...
Well, yeah, the amount of OBC zone land.
OBC zone land, right. And that the city would reject...
We want to preserve.
We recommend...
Preserve is a good word.
Yeah.
We want preservation
preserve.
Of all, OBC.
You made the motion, you said retain. What
maintain?
I think
preserve sounds good.
Preserve is a better.
Who's doing the motion?
We're just trying to craft the second.
Let's craft it.
Yeah. But you want to try recrafting, given all of this? Because
yeah.
Lord knows I don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I have. Just a shot in the dark. Due to limited OBC property in Westland, we are recommending the city maintain preserving the property and said development agreement to be preserved as OBC property.
Not bad.
Or motion?
OBC zoned.
Or zoned.
Motion.
Zoned.
Or zoned.
Yeah, yeah.
Add zone in there.
Maybe at the end.
Because people get confused.
Zoned as, or is it currently zoned?
Yes.
Currently
yes.
Okay.
Zoned,
so to remain zoned.
Yeah, that's
right?
Fine.
Remain zoned as
OBC.
Yeah, that would do it.
Okay.
Now, I've also heard other leaders in the city say, well, with the waterfront project, you have so much more opportunity for more business land. But those, to me, that's pie in the sky.
Well, it's apples
yeah.
and oranges,
it's a total
right?
unknown right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
We have
it
an immediate...
Yeah.
It may never happen.
It may never happen. So I don't want to sell what we have. Mm-hmm. And I also like the idea when you guys went down to, what was that, Pike Market?
Oh, yeah, Pike
right?
Market.
Pine
yeah.
Market.
So,
Pine Market, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Pine
Market.
Because I'm also Pike seeing Street. That as two units of business land that we would be trading off for residential up the hills. So that's why those two commercial properties could really create some great energy, and that's where it's sad if the city loses sight of that.
I doubt I have your wording right, but can you work through it one more time?
I'll try. After, so I kind of edited what we said barely somewhere here.
Mm-hmm.
Due to limited OBC land or property, whichever you prefer, in West Lynn, we are recommending the city maintain and preserve. Is that where we want that? the property in said development agreement to be or to remain as OBC.
No,
to remain zoned. Excuse
as
me.
As OBC.
As yes. OBC to yeah. remain zoned. Excuse me.
Okay.
That worked. That yeah. sounds
I'll,
like it.
I'll listen to the recorder because that won't get transcribed for a few days.
Okay.
You know, tonight
okay.
I need to put that into something and send it on.
So okay.
I'll do that.
So is that going to be Russell's motion?
Or Causey's motion.
Or Causey's motion. You're the one that brought it up.
Or Rachel's motion.
Yeah. Is it Rachel's motion?
Someone needed to
Somebody
move
needs a first Somebody here. So it. Who's my first?
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay, Causey's the first.
I'll second.
And then Rachel's the second. I think we've discussed it. And
Do
so
we need to vote?
Yeah, we're voting. Oh. So all in favor of this motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. And now you can yell down the hall.
Richard, we're done.
Now, the wording on this is going to be massage, right?
Yeah, but please listen to the
tape. I think it'll be...
I'll just pick it up off the tape.
Okay.
And if it's clumsy, I might tweak yeah. it slightly. Yeah. But
you
oh, look at here, you wrote it down.
But you roughly know what we were saying.
Yeah, but still. Mm-hmm.
Just an FYI, the testimony, everything has been changed, been
closed.
No, moved
no,
to
moved
February
12th.
Yeah. 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
everyone's anyone is encouraged to come give testimony as to how they feel.
One thing I wanted to ask you about on that issue is. Mr. Parker said that he was going to be doing more community outreach. Is that going to be before the 12th?
Yeah, that's what his attorney, Mr. Robinson, specifically sent an email in saying, we intend to do more community outreach, so we'd like kind of a continuance. So
okay, so...
He didn't define what that was.
Hmm. We, as Willamette, we need them to come January 10th. So should I reach out to them and say this is the date I want?
They didn't define what they meant.
The reason why I say that is because our second Wednesday is going to be after their February meeting.
January 11th?
I haven't had very much luck with those. I don't have luck with any of these, so that's okay.
Wednesday?
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
No, not our meeting. Their
neighborhood.
Well,
okay. All right.
Yeah. Sorry. Alrighty, so it sounds like we're on to number 5, which are the other items of interest on the EDC members. Do you have anything, Shannon? Actually, you have an announcement.
We hired someone from Main Street, a new program director.
Wonderful.
So she's a professional blues singer. She's won multiple national competitions.
A professional what?
Blues singer.
Oh, blues singer. Okay.
So...
I listened to her on her webpage. It was really good.
Yeah, she's
What's her name?
Ray Gordon.
Ray Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She used to be part of. She used to work for Oregon for Mount Hood Territory. So gives us the grants, the tourism board for Clackamas County. So she has her connections there and her a lot of experience with grants and that kind of stuff there. And
So what's her job?
She's a Main Street program manager. So we had the one that, or the one stepped down, mm-hmm. and so this one replaces it. So.
Mm, good.
Any ideas?
No, I shared about the waterfront to the Transportation Advisory Committee that I am also on. They were very excited, so I hope that they go for tours. But I could not say enough good things about it. I'm just so excited about it. So hopefully that will stimulate a little interest on that side of things. And, of course, they ought to be involved in that since it is transportation, which I said, we haven't even addressed this in our committee. So hopefully it will kind of stimulate.
Well, it's one of the most important aspects.
Yeah, exactly. And we haven't even talked about it. Mm-hmm. So it's there.
Great.
Yeah.
Causey?
I don't know if this relates to our EDC or not, but in Robinwood, we went through another round of discussion with the city, which was for the station, Robinwood Station, which I thought was a closed issue because it was approved to be a community center. And eventually there was another attempt to not be a community center, but we were reminded that this was already approved. And so it's moving forward to be towards becoming a full-fledged community center, local community center. And it's home of the Robinwood Neighborhood Association.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had quite a bit of activity this year. I don't have a huge list to talk about what kind of activities, but they are going to be, you know, in the website soon. So, and we got our Wi-Fi installed, which was a big issue.
That's great.
And thanks to these guys for making it happen.
You weren't there for pizza.
No.
We delivered.
So we just had a sort of economic, non-profit economic activity. We did a repair fair where people brought old stuff that didn't work and volunteers fixed it.
That's cool. That is cool. I wish I would have known about that. Yeah, did you put pictures and give it to, like, for me to put in the Westland thing?
Yeah, the pictures
cool.
Have been taken. I just don't know whether they have put it out yet or not. It was last weekend.
Nice.
And there's Christmas caroling this weekend on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably the third repair fair we did.
Really? I would have never known.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
I've heard about it a couple times.
You put it on next door?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's another coming up.
Flyers, yeah.
Are you on the city website where you get the updates?
Yeah. I didn't see it in there.
Yeah.
Well, next one, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, that's
the
nice
other
thing
I want to give you kudos for is you have the best community garden. It is designed so well. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I'd like that to be the replica because down at Fieldsbridge Park, we have quite a bit of area for that, but everybody just takes like a little sliver, mm-hmm. and it's really quite a mess. But mm-hmm. I like the way you guys have done that. It's excellent.
Beautiful.
It's shared.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, it's really great.
The other thing is anybody can join the garden group.
Can they?
Yeah. It's not just Robin Hood.
Don't know these things.
Yeah.
Again, it seems like a lack of communication.
Well, we used to be kind of like a stepchild of the city, so...
Everybody feels that way.
Everybody
feels Well, and there's more and more talk about doing...
it's getting better.
...a right. better social media on all of these issues because not everybody's plugged in, you know? Mm. So how do you get people to know things? So, definitely. Jennifer, did you
have anything? I had a couple things. Two, actually, questions. So do we still want to hold a commercial broker real estate summit?
Yes. I think we do.
Sounds like a good idea maybe for the new quarter.
Because winter is usually a downtime for them.
Mm-hmm.
So then we'll help That'd me work right. on that.
Oh, I'll help you work on it.
Yeah, okay. Work on it.
Okay. All right. And then the second one is, do we still need to be involved in finding solutions for the Higgins building?
So we had kind of an update on that yesterday, right?
Ooh.
That it's still...
News?
That
we're suing each
they
other.
They start suing
Stubborn?
Each other.
Oh,
and
nice.
So, like, until everything's resolved with lawsuits and stuff, it's probably not going to happen.
Really?
Could you tell me who, again, the principals are? Is it
Hagen's?
He's a Sanford
shooting so. Albertsons, and Albertsons
oh,
is shooting
Hagen's. Oh.
They're suing each other.
Food fight.
We need a scriptwriter. This sounds like a possible movie.
I know.
Movie
yeah.
But they don't own the building, do they?
The semi,
no,
a guy
they have
a
on it. Yeah.
A guy in San Francisco owns the building.
Yeah. Powell Development is the group.
And so if they take a tenant, they don't get paid on that. All the back rent that is owed, right? So
So they'd like to have more back rent.
Exactly. They're going to get paid.
It's another really smart way to work things.
So for now, it is...
So assume until all the lawsuits are finished up that there's probably... Unless they got like an amazing offer from somebody, my guess is that they don't... They're not in a rush.
So is Powell getting paid?
No, they will get from bankruptcy court because they'll be one of the top... lien holders against the property.
Be the first ones to get
so it'll be futile right now to just to do anything,
which is so frustrating.
Okay,
it does look bad down there.
It looks really bad.
It's dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
Okay,
it's one of those who can outlast the other in bankruptcy.
Who has the biggest, deepest pockets?
Yeah, that's crazy. Beck, did you have something?
I have two things that I just will throw out there. One, I imagine everybody has seen this. I think we've talked about it before, but now it's really happening, and that is the development at Merrillhurst.
The
commercial development. And, I mean, you know, it's going along, so it's going to be... It's going to be done soon. I mean, you know, they have a plan. They're executing it.
Mary's Woods is what you're talking about?
Mary's Woods. Yeah. And so I'm sure that that will impact us, I mean, in terms of the city and what people have as offerings, even, as they come into the city from that area.
Because they're going to have retail there.
They are going to have retail there. I mean, I really don't know anything more than you do, other than that, since I'm close to that area, I probably might see it more than some, and maybe. And it's just really progressing. So,
Is it technically West Lynn or technically?
No, it's technically like a Swiss.
It's like a Swiss.
And so, but it's really right on our border.
Yeah.
So, whatever happens there retail wise, I'm sure we'll all use it.
I'm
close
to there as well.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's something that maybe we need to maybe bring up in the new quarter again. You know, we kind of talked about that. They came to us, in fact, and said, hey, we're going to do this. So, we were informed. I don't know if there's, you know, anything, again, that it's not like exactly that we can do exactly, but maybe for the new year, we can kind of wonder if there's, maybe even to watch how it goes and see what shops there do well and what don't, to give us a little bit better idea about what are people really needing, using, you know, just kind of use it as a, almost a case study.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the other thing, and I brought this up before, nobody knew anything about it, but I still find it really odd. I'm not exactly sure where I would go in the city, but to find out. But there is a fairly large, it looks like a condo project. It's just north of Merrillhurst Drive on Highway 43. It's been there now, I think, for 2 years.
Burgerville!
Yes.
Just beyond Burgerville. Uninhabited. But it looks so nice, doesn't it? It's a ghost town. They have the palms, and they've done these very nice buildings. I mean, they look pretty nice. But, you know, why is it empty? And why does it stay empty?
I brought
which
this
also
up a
doesn't
week and
look
half
good.
Ago.
Okay, and did you get any
information? I know, I couldn't find anything on it. I asked around a couple of people that I knew, and they had no idea. So I am curious as well.
Should we? I mean, John or anybody here?
I heard there was some kind of legal issue.
Yeah, it was a legal
issue. A couple months ago, somebody mentioned, I forgot where I heard it. But
well, would it be something that we...
Because they asked the same question. It's just kind of...
There.
It's pretty much built.
It is.
Right?
It looks very nice.
But there was something. There was some legal issue.
Yeah. I mean, would it be something that we could ask planning and maybe get an answer? I mean, once again...
Well, it's within our jurisdiction, so yeah, you should be able to...
Well, they don't know what the private business dealing is, necessarily.
But they would have to
go to
any building permits, right?
That
the
crime
guy
or... Yeah. I'll
ask one of the
signings. Okay, and then the other thing is,
who's paying
taxes on it?
I'm going to rent 27 of them.
Property owner.
Right. Yeah. Well, can we ask that question, too?
I don't know what's going on.
Why wouldn't they be paying taxes?
Yeah, they
I don't know. Taxes. Why would they? I mean, you know, they're not. I don't know.
Although it might not be reassessed yet.
I'd like to know.
From the buildings being on there.
Right. Did the city issue an occupancy permit?
That's another question you guys would have the cue, the ability to know.
It kind of rings a bell from what I heard a couple months ago, that some kind of hinky thing that was preventing it from moving forward, for actually happening. And that kind of rings
what
some
do you
kind
think?
Of a bell, but I could be
There
could
must be
off.
30 units
We don't
down
get
there.
Reports on it.
Easily.
So.
Yeah. Somebody's clearly maintaining something. I've never seen anybody, but it's all kept...
Very nice.
Yes.
And again, it looks like a ghost
being
town.
Being semi-abandoned.
Well, except it doesn't look abandoned. It just looks uninhabited.
Uninhabited.
There,
but
it's
somebody's
not
maintaining something.
Yeah, it's
or,
not
you
falling
know.
Apart. It's that, but it just doesn't. It's another thing that doesn't look good. And it's kind of like, why don't we keep track of things? So anyway, those are my two things.
Okay.
Cos, did you have a question on that one or a statement?
Well, I was going
to... That's your neighborhood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, on that issue, I think the best way to find out is, did the city issue an occupancy permit or not? Mm-hmm. And what's the hang-up? Because the city would know that, you know.
Yeah.
The second thing is this development on Lake Oswego.
The retail?
Right, retail.
It's retail.
It's going to cost us a lot of headache because all that traffic mm-hmm. is going to be, we're going to take
well, the assume more traffic, yes.
Right. They laid a, you know, a number on us because they came to us to announce it at the very last minute mm-hmm. when everything was authorized so we wouldn't have any way of objecting to mm-hmm. that development. And so we were blindsided, basically. The EDC as well as the president's meeting, I was there, mm-hmm. And the Robin Hood Neighborhood Association as well. So, but what we should do now that it's going forward and we have no choice but accept it, we should discuss this among us in EDC and find a way to reap benefits from it. Meaning, you know, that's an enterprise that's going to be money-making enterprise. How do we attract businesses in our neighborhoods? Mm-hmm. So people coming and going to that facility will stop and
be drawn to us.
Be drawn to our economic activity as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Russell, I think your card went up first.
I was just going to point out to your point about a test case. My understanding with the Marieswood rep mm-hmm. that oh. it's going to be, they're going to try to recruit to take care of the residents of Marieswood, so it's not.
Well, I know there's residential above the commercial. My yes. understanding was it's commercial down below and residential
yes.
up above.
Yes. It's going to be commercial, yes, but mm-hmm. what I was told is that they want to bring businesses in that will service their community.
Ah, right. It's,
like specifically
it's not
to
for
service like a hair
external.
Salon and mm-hmm. a pizza, yeah. like a restaurant's things.
As
that
opposed to competition of sorts with maybe the our development that's right, you know, less than a mile away. Is
that was
what you
the message
mean?
I think. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. It sounds like Orenco in Hillsborough, same model.
Sort of, except in Orenco, obviously, it's, you know, people go to Orenco
oh, yeah,
as a destination. So
they originally, you know, modeled it after live and work.
Oh, uh-huh, yes.
You are.
Right,
that
yes,
was the
right.
model, and they
but
built it out.
But because he's right that it still could impact our businesses in Robinwood because they're right there. You know, mm-hmm. so it'll be mm-hmm. could be somewhat competition.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Well, there could be somewhat competition, but we should look for the opportunity
yeah. mm-hmm.
to mm-hmm. find complementary uh-huh. businesses.
Yeah.
We're competing. We're competing.
Yeah. But well noted. You're right, because that could be an economic stimulus for us.
So, I mean, maybe that should be on the
yeah,
February
agenda.
Yeah,
because those residents, the people that are living above, right, would go shopping and
mm-hmm.
further down our 43 mm-hmm. to our businesses. So that's an opportunity. My only thing on hers was to maybe we can see once they are built what the rents are.
Oh,
so
Admiral of Marieswood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know that what that is. Kazi and I know that. They were going to sell them for $400,000.
No, I mean the commercial space.
Oh, commercial space. Oh, I thought you meant the units.
Because we're always looking at...
We were shocked when we heard that, right?
Our rents being so high
oh,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. So I think it would be good to note, even though it's like a Oswego, since it's right on the border, the rents should be equal to what we're charging in our part of the city.
Yeah.
I would think they're not.
When I talked to the gal, she said that they were still in the development, figuring it out. Because I looked at moving my office there.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But it changes my zip code. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Those refi.
Right. So right now I have Westland. If I move there, it'd be like Oswego. And internally, for my business, it would put me in a different territory, different...
Yeah.
A whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, it would be good.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I think it will force businesses, it will force people to us. People who are in Lake Oswego proper now don't want to come on down the road. This forces them to come down the road and maybe just go another two or three or four blocks more. I think it's a fantastic thing. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And if we're pushing them there down into, you know, to a little farther into West Lynn, why not go on down to the waterfront? I mean, it's really going to drive business. I think it's a fantastic opportunity coming.
One thing I'd like to see, though, is we need a solid announcement gateway, whatever word you want to put on it, that when you come in to West Lynn on that end, you know you're in West Lynn. Right now, you don't.
Oh, that's a good idea.
There's a little sign.
There's a sign.
But I'm thinking of even like boulders and, you know, like a big...
Oh, you mean...
In real estate, they don't know. We've all said...
Well, they have the nice one when you come over the Lincoln City Bridge, right? That's a nice sign.
Just a sign.
I think what... I just think it needs to be defined.
I think what needs to happen is the city needs to get together with ODOT and figure out what the hell they're going to do about 43, because if, until that happens, we are going to be caught.
And people aren't going to come down our way because they're not going to want to sit in traffic.
Yeah, and you're talking about it's going to be beneficial to us. I think until that 43 is taken care of, it's going to be a nightmare.
And that the space is actually desirable for people to build a business there, because right now it's trash. But maybe, since they are developing down there, it will start, people will want to improve those existing buildings or, you know, scrape them and build new ones.
You know, traffic is the nature of the beast. You want more business, you want more people, you get more cars, you get more traffic. You just have to kind of deal with it.
It's not that easy. Highway 43 belongs to ODOT.
But going against it and being upset about it, I mean, just embrace it and be like, okay, it is what it is. And love that the people are coming. And
Richard, I think you wanted to make a
comment. Well, that was a great segue because...
You're upside down.
Remember a couple of... that's fitting for me. Remember these four ballots that you just approved? Mm-hmm. By wide margins, 4-1 margins, 80%, 20% approvals. We're going to be getting $4.4 million, and the beginning of that improvement starts.
That's
the upper end, and so it's going to come down about 3 miles. So as that's going in between cycle track and the improvements, EDC might want to think about how that can complement. You said that's a perfect, I mean, it's a perfect segue into it, because if that's a space that might be open for development, that you folks can drive some kind of knowledge of it, awareness of it, that could be a first party to it. And it would draw. I agree. It would, to me, in my opinion, it would draw from whatever's going on there. People go, well, yeah, that looks really neat now. That's brand new roads and everything. What's going on now?
What's going on down there?
You
know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Deb, did you have a statement?
Thank you for all. Hopefully.
I did. And let's see. Oh, just a heads up, as we speak about that zone and traffic, I don't know, does anybody remember Upper Midhill has that development going on? Is that 50 houses back there? I don't remember. Anybody know?
40.
40. Okay.
No, 34.
Okay. 34. Oh, excuse me, 34. So, you know, that's another like 60 or 70 cars that are going to come from that area too. That's kind of infill there. But so that, you know, we do have aren't those the STIP funds that are going to work on Highway 43? Is that a STIP?
Yeah, there's $1.4 million in STIP funds, and there's $3.3 from RRFF. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. There's a couple.
And so,
you know, based on the fact that we have the Merrillhurst project, we have the 60-whatever Upper Mid-Hill, if eventually that property we were discussing by Burgerville has to... eventually be occupied.
Right.
That's
just
probably
like Vegas, right?
That's probably you know, that could be more like, you know, 200 or more cars in that area. So, you know, really we probably should maybe try to keep that on our agenda, maybe for the next quarter, for following quarter, to just see maybe we, I don't know if the transportation plan for those STIP funds is really totally written in stone yet. And I don't know if they have been
not stone, but close to it.
Okay, I
the
don't know.
The concept plan is pretty much there, but it still
time out here.
Needs
your little card's been up for a while.
I don't wait. Just let me finish this, and then please go. But I don't know. I don't feel a great deal of confidence that whoever is working on this from the city of West Lynn is dealing with that future traffic that where we actually have building permits out. I just don't have a great deal of confidence unless I see some documents. So that would be something we could follow up on. Thanks.
So that made me think of another thing, but we are presenting to City Council next Monday the Willamette transportation plan, or streetscape. So that could be adopted. Once it's adopted, then we can't, if we get funds, we can move on it. But it has to be adopted into the TSP first.
I see that. No.
And then to Rachel's point about all of the cars, part of the way they create their rent prices, right, is how many cars per day. Oh. So the more cars per day, uh-huh, you're going to see rents start to increase.
Higher rents. Spring
information. Yes.
All right, Riv.
Oh, I'm sorry. That should be down.
And then you were up, so you're upside down again. You're such a rebel. So do you have a comment on the rest of this?
As you know, since you started, the whole idea of, you know, coming to council with, you know, getting zoning right now is a perfect opportunity to start looking at the zoning up there, yeah, and what might take best advantage of that and make recommendations to the council.
But the directive,
and that's a longer term project that you can spend over the next year, because the funds are not going to come immediately. I mean, it's going to be start to come, and so it's going to take a while. So probably the Mary's Woods is probably pretty much in its,
I wouldn't be surprised,
decent infancy, where you can start to see the amount of, you know, interest down there, and then as we move forward in building that, you know, providing the improvements on 43, and that's one of the questions that is also on the survey about the lower parts of 43.
Yeah, but I think our directive, right, is only for Willamette. I was hoping that we would be able to work on zoning for the whole city, but I think our directive is only for
the working group.
For the working group.
But the EDC can make another
record. Because I would like to see a lot of 43 rezoned.
Because people in Bolton don't think that's the same thing. There's people that have been appointed to this committee, this task force, and they're thinking that we're also looking at their side of the hill, too. So I'm not sure. We'll see on the 4th.
On the 4th, we'll find out exactly. The council directed us to do a job, right? Yeah, so we have to do what the council wants us to do.
Unless they've added on to that, too. Anyway, Russell, do you have...
I have a little bit. So I went to that Oregon Leadership Summit, December 4th. Oregon Future Ready, the two big things. Oregon as a whole... fiscal challenges. I didn't know this, but 60 for every dollar, basically, for a public employee, they're roughly about 60 cents more for benefits, and it's only increasing. So they have repackaged Measure 97, the gross receipts tax that failed 8-2, and they're going to put it back on the ballot, because they're trying to get that back through. And then as it pertains to, and I started thinking about the waterfront, electric vehicles, automation, we don't have any charging stations in West Lynn.
Right.
Good point.
So if we were going to future plan, do those things, like knowing that electric vehicles are going to be a big part of transportation in the future, getting people to come here, tourism, those kinds of things, maybe either partnering with or having a city-sponsored charging station, whatever the case is. It was just thinking out.
Very 2011, Willamette looked at that, and we were set up to do 6. It was a company coming through that was looking for places along 205, and then it went away. But it has been talked about before, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
Who does the ones that, does anybody know how Oswego supports theirs?
There is,
might be all private.
They're all private.
Actually, really? But the city has to give them a permit to put them in, right?
Yeah, they do.
Huh.
There's a Blink facility on the old, in the backside on, you've got this A Street, I think it's...
A Blink facility?
Where?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, what you mean by
it's a charging network.
It's a charging.
Oh, a charging network.
Yeah. And like then on A Street, there is but couple, right? Anyway, these are all private enterprises.
I'm kind of amazed that people wouldn't, that we have such, we just don't have inviting parking on 43 anyway to put like a charging station there. And I mean, just kind of the layout of Westland doesn't really offer too many opportunities other than maybe like Market of Choice.
Parking lot.
Yeah, and then of course there's Hagen.
We've got plenty of room here.
Maybe that's what we do.
Well, actually, that's not a bad idea. I mean, the amount of Teslas in the Portland metro
area, I think Westland is like the Tesla capital of Portland.
It might be. There's a lot of them here.
Westland and
Richard, that looked like you were...
Along those lines, the current mayor of Gladstone, Tammy Stemple, that's her business. She does... I don't remember exactly because it was a conversation we had last January when we first met, but that's what she, her and her husband,
designed
charging stations and are in the process of implementing. I said, wow, you must be busy as crazy. And she goes, yeah, because they're involved in, you know, the whole United States area type of thing. And so they sounded like a key player, so she'd be a good data person to get to. And she's a wonderful person. She's a neat lady.
Why don't we invite her here?
That sounds like a great idea.
Can we invite her here?
Does anybody interested in that? I would give a call first to validate
what I think I remember. Mm-hmm. Okay. See how much she's involved in it, and then if she is, you know, she'd probably be happy to come.
I do think Albertsons would be a good spot.
It's true.
Seriously.
But, you know, this is just kind of came into my head, but only because we're talking about this, and of course we always see them when we're in parking garages. You know, where is there any really place in West Lynn that would be... It would be useful to have a multi-level parking garage. The waterfront, if it gets developed.
Willamette could use it.
We just don't have the land.
Well, there's a land. There's a piece of land.
Where the gas station is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, a floating garage.
Sure.
Down the Willamette. Park on the ferry. Take a trip.
Okay, you guys are getting hysterical now.
did you have any more of your items?
No, I just got to thinking about that. Thinking that if we're going to try to draw tourism, we're going to develop the waterfront. Why not incorporate future-proof the city a little bit? And to your point, Shannon, and I don't think Albertsons would be a good spot right now because somebody who's going to charge an electric vehicle is going to come hang out for 20 minutes. They're going to generally go to a coffee shop or go spend some money.
Well, you have all of those offices, though, across the street.
We have a couple restaurants. You got your Subway, and then you've got biscuits.
That would be another place to develop more restaurants and more services.
It would draw more people, I think.
Yeah. Pine Street.
Food hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, think of like Woodburn, for example. They have a Tesla supercharging station right next to Elmer's. Uh-huh.
I know.
But it also grew up around the store.
So we need to be talking to Sherry's. Sherry's has room.
I thought Sherry's was leaving.
That's what they are.
Yeah. No, I think that was an old rumor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The other thing, just based on this idea about EV vehicles, and I brought this up with John before, is I think we ought to do something or try to be better about having some Wi-Fi places where people can come in. And actually, if you're biking through town, a place to like actually work on your bike, a place to plug in your phone, those types of things could be very inviting to people coming through town.
Our streetscape plan does include a bike kiosk, one of those bike kiosks.
Great.
Fix your bike.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Does the city have a designated, like, online meetup for exchanging, like, offer up for Craigslist or like a safe place where?
Yeah, no, I brought that up in one of the meetings because I saw Sherwood has that, where it's got cameras and stuff like that, which I think is a cool idea.
Cameras,
something to come. Yeah, so you can trade Craigslist. If someone comes, you're going to do a Craigslist, so it's filmed. You have a wacko come and kill you. It's on camera.
Uh-huh. Or put it at the police station.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have
Fremont, California. That's what he's down.
I don't have anything because I care about the OBC land and everything else you guys said is things I've been thinking about. So... do we want to go to staff first, or do we want to go to the city council?
I have nothing to add.
Okay.
I was going to say Richard, before beauty, but... Just the only thing is the proverbial citizen advisory group appreciation party is still on the agenda, after I've reminded a couple times, so sometime January is the tentative plan.
Do we have a date?
No.
No.
And so, you know, it would be everybody, and I added up to 71 volunteers between all the advisory groups. So, Cool. Not that everybody would attend, but
is it formal?
If it has food,
no. But
yeah, I think they usually has food.
You know, my
cupcakes or something.
I'd like it
right?
to be good. You know.
They had a box of Russell Stover's next door.
You know, not Subway, not Subway sandwiches, a pizza. You know, something with a little bit of class. And
okay.
Get some cookies and cousin and show.
You need more than cookies.
I was thinking more shrimp and lobster, but that's
well. That sounds good.
That sounds great.
So. Okay, well, if we don't have anything else to say, it is, well, I don't know if that's right, 8:06, we are adjourning.
Hey, I want to show you something.
After you keep I'll take him. Yeah.
Thanks.
Are you done?
I don't know if it helped.
10 years, you know, I finally finished my house. Train,
you know, look at
finally!
So I was
going to
tell you
can we move in?
And the city gave me so much headache.
When can we move in?
When's
that, when do you have an occupancy
your
permit?
Coming out? That was one of the
did
first conversations we had almost 2 years
did
ago.
Did you move in? Yeah. Congrats.
Nice. Congratulations.
November 1st.
Wonderful. We had Thanksgiving there.
Okay.
A deep.
In case it falls apart.
The gathering, it's in January for certain, or?
Right.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right, got rid of it. Everybody got rid of it.
Yeah, since they kind of
I didn't really know
yeah,
how
to about it.
Yeah, how to
do it. I was giving them that $1,000.
Oh,
I feel like
yeah, right. There was one idea.
Yeah,
they
don't offer it.
Citizen advisor for the training.
I was on the transportation, but not this one yet. And then a month later,
that was the first explanation. Fine, but I don't
think
that's a
good idea. You're doing a charge
at home. Nice event, nicely catered to
the.
Thank you, you guys put this
on the
side. Not that it goes to my schedule, though, but just care about people like Christmas.
And Friday's best start. There's usually no city meetings on Friday, so most people are under available or make themselves available.
Yeah, as an all-wheel drive, you
should
be able to come on with me.
But I also talked about the issue.
You're going to trust autopilot.
We're going to be looking at how much money we get every year from the sex city and we want
so
to.
We kind of
but I mean, I would love to be able to.
My old world. That's what
I know, right? And I am.
Are you liking it?
Also, you know.